Our reading can be found on page 1048 of the Pew Bibles. Page 1048. Luke chapter 14, beginning at verse 33. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure heap. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering round to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbours together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Good evening, everybody, and can I just say thank you to everybody, because it's been a really encouraging day. And as always, we're incredibly grateful for all that you do to support us. Salt. Can we have, sorry. Lovely, perfect, thank you very much. So two pictures of salt at work here, one on a piece of meat, a piece of pork, which is being purified, and it will prevent it from rotting, and another is a jar of bath salts. So salt preventing things from rotting and purifying them, and helping to heal wounds. And perhaps if any of us have had operations, we'll have had salt baths to help us heal. And you don't need me to tell you that in our society today, there are signs of things going wrong, of things being far from pure. We've just had the whole News of the World scandal, and then before that, the whole area of failed bankers' bonuses and MPs' expenses, and looking at reports on the way our society is going, the very rich getting richer and the very poor getting poorer. And where we are, one of the worst aspects of our society is youth crime on youth, violent crime of one group of youths against another. And it's in that area that of youths who are prone to committing violent acts that we can really make a difference. Anthony mentioned this morning about going to see these young men who are now drug dealers and preventing them from carrying out a very unpleasant threat against another local youth. And it was very interesting in that interaction between us and this drug dealer who we see cruising around in a car with his friends. Because when we mentioned this threat against this young man, his reaction was one of embarrassment. And the part of the reason for that is that about 7 or 8 years ago, we'd taken him and a number of those who are involved in drug dealing now on a weekend. And it was actually a terrible weekend. We spent the whole time trying to keep them in order. But they nevertheless always appreciated it. And you probably heard me mention that when the data projector was stolen from the church, they bundled the perpetrator into their car and threatened him with violence unless he returned it to the church. It was a kind of gratitude we probably didn't want, but nevertheless, in those very strange mindsets that allow violence to arise between one set of views and another, there is a glimmer of gratitude, of knowing that there's a standard outside theirs that deep down they know they ought to be conforming to, and that's kind of the effect of the salt of God in amongst some very difficult circumstances. And so the salt is really a metaphor for being like Jesus in the world, Jesus who came into the world and got stuck into the most rotten parts of his society. And he says that there's a cost, that we have to prioritize him above all else in our lives, our families, our jobs, homes, aspirations, and ambitions. In all of our decision making, one thought must be uppermost: what does Jesus want me to do for his kingdom's sake, for the sake of playing my part in the glorious transformation of the world he came to save? And in Matthew chapter 6, we see that he promises that all our other concerns will be taken care of if we prioritize. But secondly, we also face rejection, just as he did. And chapter 15 shows this happening, the so-called holy people objecting to Jesus, the friend of sinners, and worldly people come in all sorts of guises, including here religious guises. So there are costs, but the benefits far exceed the cost. And we see Jesus in chapter 15 there drawing the outcasts and the sinners to himself, and those outcasts and sinners finding a new life, a new hope, transformation, and above all else, a love that they've never known before. And so Jesus cannot abide low-salt Christianity, costless Christianity. He says plainly that it's only fit for the manure heap, because low-salt, low-cost Christianity cannot achieve the glorious thing that is the kingdom of God on earth. And I think that once we see that kingdom of God happening, once we're part of making it happen, we forget the cost, because it is something so amazing and so wonderful. And I'd just like to quote from chapter 15 and verse 7. Sorry, this first section is a bit longer because there's an introduction, but the others are shorter to make up for it. Verse 7 of chapter 15, "I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." One of the things we really need to bear in mind is the joy that there is in heaven over things that happen down here on earth. We need to be encouraged by the fact that angels are up there with Jesus, with the Father, rejoicing over the changes that happen in this world through you and through me. But society rejects those who we seek to save in the name of God. The ASBO young people and the young offenders, the people who are always out of work. All of those society condemns, just as those religious leaders condemned the outcasts and tax collectors, but it didn't stop Jesus getting in there and transforming their lives. There is such joy in heaven. I've mentioned a young man whose life was transformed over a period of about 10 years through the mission. Perseverance is an essential quality, but that perseverance is the main quality of God's love to us. Think how he loves us in spite of our faults. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7, love never gives up. And that's the kind of love we need in our hearts, the kind of love that God will give us in the power of his Spirit. And it's the most glorious thing for transforming our world. And
I think we need you to show our pictures so that we know what to pray about.